It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, taylorswift13.org. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Taylor Talk episode 48. This is Adam.
Belle.
Maya.
Diane.
And Haley.
We got a full group with us today, which is totally awesome.
Yay.
So
hello.
So you want to know something funny? I kind of had a thought.
What?
You had a thought? That's hilarious.
So I probably should have taken note of who tweeted this, but someone tweeted several pictures compiled together of Taylor with the sparkly guitar throughout the years. And I had a thought. I'm like, what if the entire sparkly guitar thing is a conspiracy? What if that's been a different guitar every single time? What if there are multiple sparkly guitars?
You know what? That wouldn't surprise me, because I am pretty sure that Taylor and her team had to glue all of the little sparkles on that guitar, because they don't make them like that.
No.
She said that sometimes, like, one will fall off, and then, or like a few will fall off, so then they're sitting there, like, before the show with, like, glue and rhinestones trying to fix it before she goes on stage. So I don't know. I think it's like a special part of her touring. I think it's like a sentimental piece. I don't think she'd have more than one.
Unless she has a backup.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm a conspiracy theorist here. It's the sparkly guitar conspiracy.
You're a goof.
Shut up. Anyway, so one more thing before we get started. The Twitter account at Taylor Talk Stock asked us, what red shows are the hosts of Taylor Talk attending? So who wants to answer that? Because I don't have tickets to any shows yet.
I know for sure that I'll be attending at least one of the shows in LA. But which one, I'm not sure yet.
Well, Haley and I are going to be both at the Omaha show's opening.
Yay!
Woohoo!
I'm so
excited. I believe Maya and I are both going to be at the Newark shows.
I don't have tickets yet, but I'd want to be there. So the plan is to be there, but I don't actually have tickets.
I'll have to StubHub it.
Yeah, same.
I don't have tickets to any, but I plan on going to every single one.
Oh my gosh, that's so crazy.
Okay, Adam.
You're a liar.
Also, Nashville for sure. I'll be at all of those. Probably all the LA shows, but I'm not completely positive about that yet. So,
I definitely have tickets for the June 2nd show in Denver. I want to go to the Wichita one and get tickets for me and my daughter, since that's around her birthday. And then I'm hopefully, if I have enough money and time, one of the Nashville shows.
Cool. Well, we'll keep everybody updated as we get tickets to different shows and things like that. And if you guys are at the same shows, we would love to meet you. So reach out to us and we'll do the best to make that happen. But for now, let's kick it off with the calendar. Belle.
All right. On February 5th, Tim McGraw's album Two Lanes of Freedom will be released. And that features Taylor Swift on track 13, with a song called Highway Don't Care. Mark Irwin, co-writer of the song, said, "It was Tim who came up with the idea to put Taylor on it. It was basically about a guy leaving someone and driving around and trying to forget the person they're leaving. Then, of course, the song comes on the radio and reminds them of that person and makes them think about things even more. So you can expect us to review and discuss that song after its release. I can't wait to hear it. I'm excited."
It's very Tim McGraw. All right, on February 10th...
When you think Tim McGraw... Sorry.
On February 10th, Taylor will perform at the 55th Grammy Awards, where she has 3 Grammy nominations, and they are for Record of the Year for We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, Best Country Duo Group Performance, and Best Song Written for Visual Media, both for Safe and Sound, which features the Silver Wars. And the Grammys will air on CBS on February 10th at 8/7 Central. So watch it.
Woo-hoo.
Cool. Thanks for that, Belle and Haley. So Diane, kick it off with the news.
Back in June 2012, Taylor participated in a photo shoot with photographer Annie
Leibovitz.
The photo will be used in a Disney Parks promotion ad that features Taylor Swift as Rapunzel, inspired by the Disney movie Tangled. If you haven't seen the photo, you can check it out. And also, in our episode guide, we have behind-the-scenes footage, which is really awesome.
It's such a pretty photo shoot. It's
and can gorgeous. I just say,
I love it.
Annie Leibovitz is my favorite all-time photographer, so I was super excited when this came out.
Yeah, she's incredible.
Looks amazing as Rapunzel.
As you know, Taylor has partnered with KEDS to help promote Red, and in part of that promotion, Taylor released a new KEDS campaign ad about being brave and having the time of your life. You can watch the commercial in our episode guide. In addition, KEDS is also running a contest for you and three friends to meet Taylor at one of her concerts on the Red Tour. All you have to do is tweet at KEDS and tell them your bravest moment and use the hashtag brave moment. All the information will also be in our episode guide.
Okay, let's see. Taylor was in Spain this week, in case you didn't know. She was at the Los Premios 40 Awards in Spain, and she won Best International Artist, which was really exciting. And you can watch her acceptance speech and her performance of Love Story and We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, as well as her other Spanish interviews in our episode guide. And Taylor, this week, is also in France. And on January 26th, she performed We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together at the Energy Music Awards in Paris. And she did the spoken part of the song in French, which was really cute. So if you want to see that, you can head over to the episode guide and watch the video.
Sweet. So, Diane, you took French in high school. Did Taylor speak it well?
I thought her accent was really cute.
Her accent was so funny. Oh my goodness. Also, what she said didn't 100% make sense, but it was so cute.
Well, it kind of did.
She's like, I love you. I love you always. I don't know. We're never going to back. That's a direct translation of what she said. She tried. And then when the presenter was talking to her after she performed and she was trying to answer his questions with like her five words of French that she knows. I admire her. Every time she goes somewhere, she tries really hard and like tries to like speak the language and everything.
Yeah, it's really sweet of her to do that.
She makes an effort.
Alrighty. On to our first mini-segment of the episode, If Swifties Rule the World, / You Know You're a Swiftie When.
This first submission was submitted by Madison and Kelsey via email. You know you're a Swiftie when the only songs you can play on your guitar are Taylor Swift's.
This next one comes from Becca Forever, and she says, you know you're a Swiftie when your sister refuses to go in your room because everywhere she looks, Taylor's staring at her. I love that one.
To be honest.
Oh, that's adorable. The next one is an email from Hazy. If Swifties ruled the world, Pegacorns would run free.
Release cool. The Pegacorn! It's in jail! Let it run free!
Alright, and our final one is from Fearless Love Story on Taylor Connect, and they said, if Swifties ruled the world, girls wouldn't judge other girls because they would all know Mean, Ours, and Better Than Revenge by heart.
Aww.
Ooh.
Cool, thanks for all those submissions. Everybody keep them coming so we have them for future episodes. Our main discussion today is one I have been dying to do for months.
Months?
Months. Oh my gosh. Like, since Red came out, this is the one discussion I wanted to do. So, thanks to three of our friends on Twitter, @13_SwiftFan_13, @RapDavid19, and @TaylorSwiftForPig.
That's a cute username.
Please explain your username.
I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. Couldn't resist. So, thanks to the three of you for submitting it, because I've been dying to discuss the lucky one. Yay!
Apparently,
I'm the only one enthusiastic about the lucky one. This is my absolute favorite song.
Ever?
Why?
Like, ever, Adam?
Why? Because I find it so intriguing. Just the story of it, the mystery of it, the who's it about, basically everything we're about to discuss.
Adam, Diane just made a Taylor pun and you totally missed it. It's really sad. Diane made a Taylor pun and you just missed it.
And it was funny, but it's okay. We can move on.
Diane, speak up.
I said it. You just talked loud.
What did you say?
Okay.
She said, is it your favorite song, like, ever?
Yeah. And I was like ever, Adam? Like, ever?
And then you just, never mind. It was a funny moment for everybody else.
A lot of things go over Adam's head. Don't take it personally.
That's such an easy Taylor pun, though. Like, that one, it's not even funny anymore.
I thought it was funny.
All right, well, moving on.
It was funny. I think you're the only one that doesn't think it's funny.
Whatevs. Anyway, so let's start by talking about the overall story of the song, which is, I mean, it's pretty simple. It's somebody who gains a status as a celebrity in society and then closes with them basically retiring. So the big question is, who is it about? Like, who is this unnamed celebrity?
Well, we think Joni Mitchell.
I think a lot of people think Joni Mitchell, not just us.
Yeah. Why?
Just the storyline is you know, sort of a romanticized version of what happened to her, that she sort of came to Los Angeles and blew up and had this crazy career. And once it sort of got big and she didn't want to handle all that anymore, she just did her own thing. She went off to Canada and bought some land and, you know, lived there happily out of the spotlight.
Chose the Rose Garden over Madison Square.
Yep.
Yes, exactly.
In the song, there's a lyric that says that she changed her name and Joni Mitchell was born Roberta Joan Anderson. So she changed it to Joni Mitchell. So
where the Mitchell came from.
Probably just sounded good.
Right. And I also believe that Joni Mitchell was famous in the 1960s, which falls along with the line, so overnight you look like a 60s queen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Plus, there's that rumor about Taylor, the possibility of Taylor playing Joni Mitchell in this upcoming movie called Girls Like Us.
See, I don't know if a rumor is enough to go off of to say that this song's about her, though.
I'm just saying, it supports, it's just another factor, another puzzle piece that supports that theory.
Also, one time she Instagrammed a photo and it had that book in it that they're making the movie of. Girls Like Us.
So it's possible that Taylor read the book and heard about the movie and she was inspired to write the song based on that.
Depending on how the timeline being inspired went. By Joni Mitchell before. I can't think of a time. I feel like she said that at some point.
So I think it's far more complex than the whole movie connection, because in the Stories Behind the Songs video, Taylor says, story, song, going to a place I'm terrified of. So I think it's more than just Joni Mitchell. I think that's where she got her start. But I think this song is also partially about herself. She saw some correlations between her life and the life of Joni Mitchell and the life of the character in this story and where this character in the story ended up. And she has this fear of going to that same place.
That's I don't know about that though, because she has said also multiple times that when she feels like her time in, you know, at the top of this business is coming to an end, she's like, I'll gracefully bow my head and, you know, raise my children.
But that's what the character in the story does.
She seemed like she was okay to accept it.
Right, but I think more specifically the moment that Taylor is afraid of is in the second verse of the song, when she says, and your lover in the foyer doesn't even know you, and your secrets end up splashed on the news front page. So it's just Taylor is afraid of being in a place where she feels like
she's lost
all
herself.
The people around her don't actually know her, even though they should. And everyone is just blasting her secrets all over the place and making up stories about her that aren't even true, you know, because that's the really dark side of fame. And I think in this song, Taylor, she basically just tells us that she's afraid of that and she doesn't like it. But it just comes with the job kind of thing.
I feel like Taylor's expressing her own fears while also paying, what's the word,
homage?
Homage to artists of the past. And in this particular case, it could very well be Joni Mitchell.
Well, another thing, it says, a few years later, I showed up here. Joni Mitchell basically retired between 2002 and 2005. And it wasn't until 2006 when Tim McGraw came out.
So let's dig a little bit deeper and go verse by verse here. Let's start off with the first verse, which is the opening to the story. It's when this character gets to Los Angeles and becomes famous.
New to town with a made-up name in the Angel City. If you really think about it, if you didn't grow up in the spotlight and all of a sudden, you know, you hit this unexpected amount of attention, that's just got to be such a shocking feeling.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this verse is sort of interesting where it's describing someone sort of completely starting over, moving to a new city, changing their name, changing the way they look. You had it figured out since you were in school. It's she was trying to become the person that she knew everyone would love. She changed things about herself.
And I think too, the only two things that this person knows about fame from the beginning is the fact that people love people who are good looking and people love people who are quote unquote cool. So the only thing she knows how to do was like make herself look good, but in a sense that that's like still a front, you know, like she doesn't know how to be herself because she might not think that that's what people want. They just want pretty and they want cool.
I think you hit on something interesting there, Diane, with the whole preconception of what fame is, that the whole song, throughout the entire song, the character has a change in mentality as well as a change in their career.
Right, for sure.
And this was the step one, was the preconception. Then later in the song, as we go on through the verses, they're going to actually realize what it's like living in LA and being famous.
Mm-hmm, right. And I think too, the tone that Taylor sings this first verse in is very almost intriguing and enticing, kind of like she's about to tell us this great story, but she's also kind of telling us a warning too, because it's not as great as you might think it is.
I mean, it's basically that concept of, you know, there's a price for everything. A lot of, you know, when you think about the life of like actors and musicians that are, you know, have quote unquote made it big and are famous, it's like, oh, they get to do all this cool stuff and, you know, they're always traveling and et cetera, but everything comes with a pretty hefty price. I mean, I wouldn't want to have to be followed around by bodyguards all the time and like have people in my house packing for me because I don't have time to pack when I'm traveling. And like, I just feel like, I mean, if you really think about it, you really have no privacy. I mean, it's not even just like when you're out with other people. It's like you can't just go shopping by yourself. You can't even have like an alone day unless you're in your house.
Moving on to the chorus, I think Taylor really hits on that point, Belle, because she says that people tell you that you're lucky, but do you really feel like you're actually lucky?
Exactly, because they don't
know you.
They're not thinking about the sacrifices. Yeah. They're like, oh, you're so lucky that you get to live this life. And I'm like, we all like tend to envy people like that, but they probably envy us and the freedoms that we have that we don't think about that they lose.
Well, the grass is always greener on the other side. And I think throughout the song, it's an interesting structure where it shows, look how glorious this is, and then shows a hesitation. Like if you look right past the first verse, between that and the chorus, when it says, another name goes up in lights, it's like, there's the hesitation moment. It's like, wait, I got this glorious moment, but then again, I'm just another name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it goes into the chorus, which is where you were at, Diane, talking about other people telling you you're the lucky one, and then questioning, are you actually the lucky one? So carrying along with that hesitation theme, the next verse does the exact same thing. It's talking about big black cars and Riviera views, but then it goes into something. Who mentioned that earlier? Diane,
yeah.
I think you mentioned the line earlier? About your lover in the foyer doesn't even know you and your secrets are splashed on the front page. And I think that particular verse is actually very relevant to Taylor right now.
Yeah, I mean, she's been all over every magazine with like really weird rumors about her breakups, and I don't know, it must be so strange for her. I mean, I know that she said, like, even recently that she doesn't read that stuff anymore because it's just so upsetting. Like,
there's only so much you can, like, not read, because eventually, if something's big enough, her publicist or something's gonna mention it to her no matter what, if it's something that needs to be taken care of.
Yeah.
So she's not going to be able to, like, not read everything.
Like,
most of the stuff you can get away with.
She just did an interview where she said, I had to stop reading any gossipy article written about me for the last 2 years because it would hurt my feelings so much if it was not true. But I had to realize that that's not me, that's someone else. They're writing about a character because none of those people know me. But I try to handle fame as positively as I can. So it's like, she almost...
That's such an interesting quote.
Like, she almost, like, she knows that the way that we see her is as a character, not as a real person. And that really all those articles are just kind of stories about the character and not about her. But it's still, I mean, you can imagine, it would be still so hard to read that. Like, you know, seeing people say, like, you broke up with someone because of this reason or that reason, or you did this, you did that, and you didn't do any of it. And knowing that there's people in the world who are believing that about you, and it's not true.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
I mean, I think that we've all experienced that on a much smaller scale. Like, we've all had somebody turn us into a character, essentially. You know, accuse us of things that we haven't done or said, or, you know, make up rumors about us. I mean, I think we've probably all been in that position on a much smaller scale.
Oh, yeah.
So to imagine it's hard, and you know, and it is, it's hurtful. And it doesn't even matter if it's like the person, I mean, sometimes the people will do that deliberately because they're trying to hurt you, and sometimes people are just being idiots and they don't know you, and they're just making stuff up, or they hear something from somebody else and don't know you and make assumptions. But regardless, it does hurt. So I can't really imagine myself, like, I mean, it hurts when you hear it from, like, one or, you know, either one person or a handful of people. I think it would really suck to, like, read an entire magazine article that you know thousands of people are reading that say stuff about you that is entirely untrue. Like, I feel like I'd just be, like, kind of humiliated and be like...
Oh, Belle, aren't we all just characters in the big game of life?
Shut up, Adam.
No, but I get where Taylor's going, and I find that to be such a fascinating quote, the fact that she's so cognizant of that in that concept, that celebrities are just characters to us, because when you talk about them in conversation, you're like, oh, Taylor Swift this, oh, Will Smith that, oh, this person that, and they are just people that we talk about. They are characters in our minds, and we don't even try to do that. It just happens.
That's true. I mean, because, I mean, the bottom line is, no matter how famous somebody is, if you don't know them personally, you don't know them. So anything that you say about them is 100% assumption, unless, right, you know, you're quoting directly from them, or you know what I mean. But
so I really, really like the next verse, too, though. Talks about that point where the character is now confused. Like, wait a second. Everyone's telling me I'm so lucky, but now I don't feel pretty. I just feel used.
Right. And I think that really ties along with what Belle was saying, because these tabloids and, you know, stuff like that, they write stories about these people to make money. And that's how she's feeling used, because people use her image for their own gain. And that doesn't make her feel pretty. That doesn't make her feel loved. She's just being exploited, basically.
I feel like every verse thus far, Taylor has actually lived through already, because she's totally at that point. I mean, I see articles on a daily basis about not Taylor's career, but Taylor's love life.
That's all people care about right now. That's
whatever's
it.
Accurate, whatever's inaccurate, I don't know, but that's all I see. And I do want to point out, like, just more reiterate what Diane said, these tabloid writers and even mainstream writers. I mean, if you watch like Perez Hilton, read Perez Hilton, which is technically still a blog site, it's not mainstream media, don't believe it. They're trying to make money
or try to exploit themselves to get famous. Their sources, they're never gonna say, oh, John Doe said this and they're friends with this person.
You know why?
It's
made up.
It's a made up.
Says a source, quote unquote.
Basically, tabloids and gossipy blog sites and everything else, it's all just fan fiction. Okay.
I mean, like, yeah. Have you guys seen the articles lately that Taylor broke up with somebody because he kisses like a snail? Like,
yes. That was funny.
Really?
But
I saw that.
Like,
no.
That, like, you, that's so obvious that you're just making things up now. Like, someone is actually just sitting there, like, what would be an attention-grabbing headline, huh?
Well, of course they're making it up, Maya. How would Taylor know what a snail kiss is
like? I know, how would she have that frame of reference?
I don't know, I can understand describing a kiss like kissing a snail. Not from experience of kissing a snail, just, like, the concept makes sense, if you think about it.
But that's just so silly, and they, I mean, I'm sure that they wrote that because they were trying to be as controversial as possible. Like, they just wanted sales for their magazine or hits for their website.
Stupid.
And it's so annoying.
Which, I think this discussion's a great lead-in to the next line, where she repeats, another name goes up in lights, but the second part of it changes to, you wonder if you'll make it out alive. Because what it comes down to is, these people aren't just writing and reporting on Taylor or Joni Mitchell or whoever at this point. They're actually attacking them. And Taylor's tough. I'm sure Joni Mitchell was tough. Plenty of celebrities are tough. But there comes a point where you can only take so much attack, so much criticism of you and your work. And in this case, you more so than your work. Like, people aren't writing articles, oh, I really don't like Taylor's song for this reason, this reason, and this reason. they're writing about her personal life and attacking it viciously.
Right, and that's going to affect your person, your psyche, your mentality, your emotions, and eventually, if it's bad enough, it could cause you to break down. And there are a lot of famous people that have issues, and I'm sure fame contributes to that. Because a normal person cannot handle this. I know I wouldn't be able to handle it.
I could not. I can't even handle it on, like, a percentagely small scale. Like, when I know that someone is making, you know, blatant lies about me, like, I get really offended. I think it would be really, really difficult to keep that in perspective on a huge scale when you're famous and people are deliberately making up stuff about you to make money and to, like, get themselves, like, a pseudo-fame in the blogging world or whatever they're doing. Like, it's vicious.
Okay, so another thing I just realized, we're more centered right now talking about how the media is portraying. When I was reading about Joni Mitchell right before she went into retirement, she mentioned how the music industry, she described it as a cesspool and how they were just using her to keep their fame going and keep in control of, and they were controlling her destiny and she wasn't doing it anymore. So I wonder if that's like something Taylor is kind of going through or is worried about going through, like going to the point where she's not in control of her music anymore.
That's a fair point. And it's, you know, it's like, okay, people can sit there and say, you're the musician, you're the boss. But at the same time, like when you're signed with a label, it's a lot more complicated than that. You don't always get the final decision on everything. And the bigger that you get, the more people you need around you to help manage your career. And I think the whole lines of who's in charge can get really blurry. And I think that is something to like legitimately like be concerned about. And I'm sure that people that hit that point in their careers where they are so huge that those lines blur and they're like, well, what can I, you know, and the whole, are they in charge? Are their labels in charge? Are their management, like, you know, are in charge? Like, I think all of that gets to be to a point where you just don't know anymore. And there's only so much time in a day for you to do what you have to do. And I don't know. I think that would just be personally, like, just thinking about that kind of makes my brain tired.
Yeah.
So I can see where she'd be, like, concerned about getting to that point where what decisions are even hers anymore.
I'm glad you brought that up, though, Haley, because now that I'm thinking about it and listening to the two of you talk, I think that whoever this character is was almost a learning lesson for Taylor, because I think she's done a fantastic job thus far of maintaining control of her own destiny by doing things that are considered out of the ordinary a little bit. I mean, she signed to an unknown record label startup, and now it's obviously huge. She never really hired an external management company the way that a lot of other artists do and opted to manage her own career. And I think that could be all indirect result to learning from artists of the past.
That's true. And I mean, before she, you know, was ever with Big Machine, she had other opportunities that she didn't feel were right for her.
Right. Like she had a development deal where they didn't want her to sing her own songs. And so I think there was already that sense of her not being in control and she didn't want that. So she walked away from a deal with probably the biggest record label in Nashville at that point because she didn't want to not be in control.
Exactly.
Right, right.
So I think she made good decisions from an early age, which does definitely helps her.
Aw, you're so smart, Tay-Tay. So the last big verse there, starting with "it was a few years later I showed up here," I think this moment is the official transition to current Taylor. It's like she took us through this story of someone else's career, and now she's like, wait, here I am, and I'm about to replace you and go through the same journey.
I think that she has gotten to a, like we had just said, you know, she has been really smart from an early point in her career. So I think that she's trying to keep everything in perspective and keep everything in mind. And I think that she does make good decisions in the case of like where she said, you know what, like I know that I'm sensitive, I know that these things bother me. So I have enough self-control to not try to go out of my way to put myself in a position where I'm going to be upset. I mean, I think that there's probably a lot of people that, you know, they know that they're going to be upset when they read stuff about themselves, but they just do it anyway because they just feel like, oh, I should know what's being said about me. And it's like this compulsion, you know, but she's got, like, I think kind of a good head on her shoulders, a good she understands herself well enough to know what positions to put herself in, despite what positions other people try to force her into. Given that, and, like, you know, her kind of writing all this out, I mean, she always says that she writes her songs to sort her feelings, and writes her songs about, like, the stuff that she's going through, and maybe she wrote this song to try to communicate to herself, and maybe to us, since she put it on the album, that she's aware of what's going on around her, and, like, she's aware of the fact that she, I mean, she has been, you know, she, like I said, she didn't grow up being famous, so she knows what it's kind of like to maybe be on the other side of that, and now she's experiencing what it's like to have this huge amount of fame, and she's, like, relating, you know, her life to other people's lives that she's seen and or heard about, and using that to sort out her perspectives and how she's choosing to handle things.
I think this verse also shows sort of reflection on the cycle, the unbreakable cycle that takes place, because there's an earlier line in the song about young things line up to take your place. And this is the moment that someone young is taking your place. And it's like somebody went through this, and it seems like I almost feel like this character that went through this experience, if they could go back and change it, they would, and they would not go through it again. And now it's like a young, innocent person is stepping up and taking that place, and they're about to go headfirst into the same thing and go through the same mistakes, and not mistakes, but
same journey.
Yeah, same situations that made the original character really uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's also a good
point. I mean, I don't know, like, I see your point, but at the same time, like, I think Taylor is going through a lot of this right now with these horrible rumors about her in the papers and whatever. But I think that if you were to ask her that question, like, would you do this again? I think she would say yes without even thinking about it for a second. Because she gets to share her music and she gets to do what she loves every day, despite the drawbacks that there are. And maybe someday she will retire to a farm in Canada, but she still got to do this. And that's what she wanted to do.
But Taylor also chose a slightly different path. She took more control of her destiny. Like, if you look up information, like, on Joni Mitchell's bio, she was taken to L.A. by someone, like, I'm going to make you a star, kid! You know, like you would see in the movies.
I don't know. I still don't think she would say that she would have done it differently, though. I don't.
I don't think Taylor would.
No, I'm not saying Taylor. I'm saying the character, not Taylor.
Well, I don't know if the song gives us enough information to make that claim, though. But I think what it does tell us is that this character at some point just kind of got fed up and decided to leave, because there's that line in that verse that says, how you took your money and your dignity and got the hell out. Taylor doesn't usually say the word hell in a lot of songs. So I think it's pretty powerful that she chose to use it there. Like, it basically sounds like this character just decided to pack up and leave and go work on herself and spend time with herself and her family and maybe, like, the people that she loves and the people that actually know her. And I think eventually, I mean, I'm not saying that Taylor will one day get fed up and leave, but I think she's kind of saying, like, eventually, like, I'm not going to be famous anymore. And this is what I'm going to do.
So, Diane, adding to what you said goes into the next line after that verse saying, because now my name is up in lights, but I think you got it right. That's it. Mm-hmm. They packed up their bags and left. And Taylor obviously thinks that was the right decision for this person.
Well, I think that ties into what she has said several times or in other interviews or maybe just once, I don't remember. But she's like, you know, when it's your time to bow your head, that's your time. Like, when, I didn't word that exactly how she did, but she has said, like, you know, when.
Like, it's like, that's a time for you to, like, gracefully bow your head and let the next generation come in and do their thing. And I think that it seems like her plan is to do that, that she's not going to hang around and whatever, use her fame for whatever. Like, she's, right now she's making music and that's what she loves, and when her moment's over, then she's gonna get a farm somewhere and and be happy.
Didn't she also say that, you know, even though she might not be in the spotlight, that she still wants to write, if even if it's, like, for other people, once it gets to that point?
I feel like I've heard her say that. Haley, yeah.
I feel like I've heard her say that, but I know I've definitely heard her say, quote unquote, like, I'll bow my head gracefully and raise my children, or something like that.
Yeah. Which I think makes sense, because at some point you do have to have a real life, I think.
Yeah, but I think that, like, it's probably completely conceivable that she can step out of the spotlight, do all that, but still be involved in music. Still, you know, be writing and everything, but just not be doing what she's doing right now, which is putting out albums every 2 years and planning these huge tours, and I'm sure she'll maybe just kind of let other people do their thing and just kind of maybe, you know, be a songwriter. I don't look forward to that day. I want her to keep doing what she's doing, but, you know, that's just me.
She's allowed to have a life.
I know. I'm just saying that I enjoy her music and stuff.
Me too.
Happy fan. So I just hope that she does this for a little while before she bows her head gracefully.
Exactly.
Right. And then, of course, the final chorus is tweaked just a little bit and says, they'll tell you now you're the lucky one, which I see it as closing the cycle. It's like, now the new generation is the lucky one. And then the song ends.
Sad.
I don't know.
End of the story.
That song definitely makes you think about a lot of things.
It does. I really like Taylor songs that are in story format like that, with a beginning, middle, end.
Yeah, I think it engages. It's definitely engaging that way.
I mean, I found this one highly intriguing. I still do, because there's still so many mysteries about it. And it's still, like, my favorite song. So, Belle, what do you think of it? On a scale of 1 to 13.
I'm going to give it a 10. And it's really? Because it's just not... I really, because, like, but here's my reasoning. Like, I think it's a really good song, and it's really thought-provoking. But it's not the song that I, like... If I'm, like, getting ready to go to work, and I'm just playing a few specific songs, like, that's not the one I'm going to click on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love the song in itself, but it's not necessarily the one that I would listen to on repeat. From her album.
Maya?
I'm kind of with Belle. I don't know, like, I like it, but it's never been one that I've loved. I think it's interesting, but no, I don't listen to it on a regular basis or anything. So I'm kind of, like, middle of the road about it. Like, it's all right, but it's definitely not a favorite.
Diane?
I think it's very well written, and it's just kind of amazing what she was able to do with, like, the story and how she told it. So I would give it a 13 just because of how interesting it is, I guess. And I wish people would talk about it more, because I feel like this song is very underrated. But that's just me.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Thank you.
Haley, what do you think?
I give it a 13 because even though I'm not famous, I don't have my names up in lights, it still relates to my life right now. Just with the friends around me and people who think they know me kind of thing. And just them using me to use you. So I give it a 13 because it can still relate to your real life.
So we get what, like 2 10s and 2 13s?
1 10.
I'm actually going to give it one more point based on a point that Haley made. And it is relatable on the case that, like, you know, like, I mean, I'm not famous. I've never, quote unquote, had my name up in lights either, but I do know what it's like to have people, you know, spreading lies about you that aren't true, and then having other people that you don't even know judge you based on that. And it's, like, I do understand that feeling, and that song definitely is identifiable in that way.
Well, I still love it, even if Belle doesn't.
I didn't say I didn't love it. I just said it's not, like,
my favorite. It's just not her favorite.
Fair point. So, what would Taylor do? A fun mini segment submitted by Audra, who emailed us and asked, what would Taylor do if she were trapped in a room with all her ex-boyfriends?
What a problem that would be.
That awkward.
That would be an awkward moment for a lot of the boys.
Be like, oh, wow.
I think she would talk to Taylor Lautner because they seem pretty good friends. Like, yeah, like they're pretty good friends.
Jonas are okay too now, aren't they?
I think they're civil, but I don't think they're like, oh, hey, how are you? I'm going to give you a hug.
They hugged.
Oh, really?
There was pictures.
Oh.
They hugged at something. Yeah.
I mean, okay, well.
Did Joe go up to her and be like, Taylor?
Probably not.
Okay, so then based on that, I guess Taylor would talk in her little corner with Taylor Lautner and Joe Jonas and just ignore everyone else.
Probably. Was anyone else really entertained by the fact that this weekend, or not this weekend, by this weekend, I mean yesterday, like I said, it's this weekend, sorry, I'm confused, that she performed We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together while Harry Styles was in the room? Because I thought that was funny.
Yeah, that was interesting. Maybe, yeah. Maybe Taylor would just sing that to all of them. Just sing We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together and just point to them.
Well, see, okay, well, this question doesn't specify what kind of room they're in. So if they're in a room with some instruments, I think maybe she'd get, like, the one or two exes that she's, you know, actually on, like, at least decent terms with and be like, okay, I need your guys' help. Like, get her guitar out and play We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together until the room somehow got unlocked.
Perhaps if Taylor formed an alliance with Taylor Lautner in this room with all the exes, she would convince him to go all abduction on the other guys.
All werewolf.
Ooh, dude, that'd be awesome.
All Jacob Black on them.
No, yeah. I was thinking no, the abduction, because other... Lautner can't really turn into a giant hairy dog.
Oh, dang it.
Okay, I don't know that. I don't know that for sure. If he can turn into a werewolf, then Taylor would be like, turn into a werewolf. Get him.
Or maybe he could break down the wall.
No, no, all she has to say is this. Just be like, they're Collins, take care of it.
Yeah. They're all vampires.
They're all vampires.
John Mayer kind of gives a vampire vibe, doesn't he?
They're all more.
I think that's just because he has hair like Robert Pattinson.
He really could be like, I could see him on like True Blood or something. Just being all nasty and evil.
Well, thanks for emailing in that question, Audra. Carrying on to our next little segment, what are Swifties listening to? We got a suggestion by someone who texted us and did not leave their name.
Dun dun dun. We don't know who you are.
We don't know who you are. But anonymous texter said that Swifties should listen to a song called For the Better by The Ready Set. Now, this is exclusively on YouTube, as far as I know. It's not on iTunes, but it is a song dedicated to Taylor. And what do you guys think of it?
It's super cute.
I like it.
I like it. I thought it was really cute.
I love the never, never, never. Yeah. Like, the part that's mimicking that chorus of We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like just like,
at least you're rich and your songs don't suck.
Yes.
Yeah, so basically this person wrote a song for Taylor to
his
make her feel
Jordan.
Better, right?
Yeah, his name is Jordan. Yeah.
Jordan? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right, which makes it highly relevant because throughout the Lucky One earlier in the episode, everything we were talking about, how Taylor's getting ripped on by a lot of blogs right now. So this individual wrote this song to make her feel better.
Make
that was
her
nice.
Smile.
Yeah, and apparently Taylor herself has actually heard it and it made her smile, so...
Yeah, she
looked
tweeted
like
the guy with a smiley face. Or a few smiley faces, like three of them. So that was cute.
So if you haven't heard it yet, we're going to put that video up on the episode guide at taylortalk.org. So go check it out if you haven't already. So I thought it was a lovely episode. What did everybody think?
Very lovely.
I agree. The Very lucky lovely. One is a fun song to try and dissect.
Yeah, there's a
Very
lot in that song.
Nice and mysterious.
Mysterious.
Wouldn't we really like to know?
I would.
Wouldn't you like to know? I don't think we actually mentioned that earlier in the episode. Wouldn't you like to know is the secret message, which is very fitting because we were talking about how mysterious it was and all that. But before we leave, I just want to remind everybody to keep submitting for those mini segments. There are many, 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 many ways you can contact us. You can email us, taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. Tweet us at TaylorTalk13, Facebook us, TaylorTalk13, Taylor Connect us, also TaylorTalk13, or leave us a voicemail or a text message to area code 240-31-SWIFT. In case you forgot any of that, you only have to remember one URL, TaylorTalk.org has every way you can contact us. For now, that's it. We will see you all next week. This has been Adam.
Belle,
Maya,
Diane,
and Haley.
Have a great week, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hand hearts.
Hand hearts.
Bye.
We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.